right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, if you would please. Kind of use this as a jumping off point. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I'll speak to you tonight about punctuality as we continue our series on character qualities. Punctuality versus tardiness. I know just making the statement is already meddling, right? Punctuality is showing high esteem for other people and their time. The dictionary definition says simply being on time. Of course, you know the old adage, to be on time is to be late and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, learning to arrange my schedule around the appointments that are made. Showing esteem for other people and their time by not keeping them waiting. So a few kind of thought-provoking questions as we begin this. Do you plan on getting to an event before it starts or as it starts? Do you know how to graciously excuse yourself from conversations that hinder you from being on time? When is the last time you got an overdue notice on a bill you owed? One of the most important lessons we can learn is to be punctual, to be on time. I'm convinced that this is one of those characteristics that, along with, there are others, but this one particularly, I think, is simply a matter of character. It's a matter of planning to do what you're supposed to do in the process. And part of it is you can tell when people are not punctual, they're always not punctual. And they're always not punctual at the same time. Which means they could be punctual at the right time. Anyway, yeah. One of the keys to this is learning to plan your schedule around key appointments and faithfully keeping those appointments. Now, I think, this is my opinion, it's not going to go anywhere, but I think that if you don't show up for a doctor's appointment, they're going to charge you anyway, right? So I think if they're late with their appointment, we are to charge them. Don't you think that'd be a good plan? Good luck implementing that, but nevertheless. Another important part of this is learn the proper time for an activity and putting it into your schedule. I know some people who, you know, say, I think I can get that done in 15 minutes. And Superman couldn't get it done in 15 minutes, you know. It's like, are you kidding? That's impossible to get that squeezed into that time period. A number of years ago, Lisa and I were talking about time, and she was fairly regularly frustrated with her days. And just, I can't seem to get what I want done. And my wife is a very diligent person. She's not a lazy person. And she said to me, I just wish God would give me some kind of formula. I said, He did. It's called 24 hours. That's the formula. Okay? And I said, why don't you write everything you would like to get done in a given day and put a figure realistically beside each item? In other words, I want to get this done. This is how long, realistically, I think it'll take me to get done. She said, that sounds great. So she started doing it. When she got done, she looked at me and said, I know where my frustration is. I said, what'd you find? She said, what I want to get done in a day takes me 36 hours to do. I think it was 36, may have been 32, but somewhere in there. I said, yeah, that's a problem. You're going to be constantly frustrated with that. Anybody else been there? Like, you need more time in a day than you actually have? Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How we number our days, the word number there is to reckon or to count or to assign or to appoint or to prepare for. So how we number our days allows us to apply or allows us to lead our hearts toward wisdom. So this is not just a take it or leave it subject. God says the way you order your day actually contributes to the fact that you're a wise person. This is pretty important. Time and how we spend it is very important. So punctuality is being on time, learning to arrange my schedule around the appointments that are made, showing esteem for other people and their time by not keeping them waiting. So here's a central thought. You must realize that being on time shows our discipline about task and my attitude towards other people. Now please understand tonight, there are unavoidable things, right? You leave the house, you got plenty of time, so forth and so on, an accident happens. Okay, we understand that. But it's when you leave the house knowing it takes you 25 minutes to get to church, and you literally leave your house with 25 minutes, and then you're like, that red light caught me. The last five Sundays, that red light hadn't caught me. That's why I was late to church. You might want to plan a little bit better for that. You know, just a little bit there, you know. So let's look at a number of things that the Bible says about this, okay? So you should be punctual by. We'll give you a number of these. Number one, by keeping appointments which should be made. Okay, so these are appointments that should be made, not necessarily that we have made them, all right? But let's look at a number of these. Number one, appointment that should be made is church. That appointment should be made. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's talk just for a minute about the larger context of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is being addressed primarily to a Jewish people who were considering walking away from the faith. They were considering going back to Judaism. Okay, and so you know how the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is better than the angels, he's better than the law, he's better than the priesthood, he's better than all those things. So in the context, the larger context of the book, I believe Hebrews 10:25 is saying, don't walk away from the assembly of God permanently, okay? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And most people will say, hey, that's what it's really mean there. But can I make an application that I think is very appropriate here? You don't walk away from assembly totally until you start walking away from it one by one. Does that make sense? In other words, you begin to walk away before you walk away. That's what happens. It becomes a pattern in our life. Isaiah 58 and verse 13 through 14, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, God's saying, Israel, if this is what you do, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high place of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now I realize that we don't worship on Sabbath, okay? I realize what God was saying to Israel, but again, the principle is, God said, if you walk away from what I've told you to do, then how can you expect my blessing? And I'm going to tell you, this is interesting because I've been burdened about this. about people not making church a priority. And then you start talking to other pastors, and they're like, that's all across the country. People just no longer make it a priority. Anything can get in the way. I just want to challenge you. I don't believe that's Bible. I think God wants us to make this a priority. So much so that we build our schedule around it, if you will. It's important for us. So, is church at the top of your priority list? What causes you to miss? You know what's interesting? People will miss church for the same reasons that they will not miss work or school for. Be careful about that. By the way, I think you're subtly sending a message to your children that way too, in the process. So, keeping appointments that should be made. Church, number two, prayer time. Look at your Bibles, if you would please, to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. I want you to notice a progression here of what's taking place. Mark 1 and verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So the sun's already down. Jesus has had a full day of ministry, and then he does all this. So in the evening, it's already dark outside. He's ministering till late, verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. After a long day of ministry, our Lord still thought it important enough to get up early in the morning and spend time with his Father before the day started. And if he felt like it was important to commune with the Father, then how much more do you and I need to commune with our Heavenly Father? In the midst of busyness, please understand, I'm not saying you're not busy. We're all busy. Our schedules are packed. I understand that. And sometimes we do have late nights and all that kind of stuff, but Jesus made it a priority to pray. Do you take time to pray? I've had people say to me, I'm too busy. You're just too busy. Something's got to give. Bible time, a third appointment that you should make, keeping appointments that should be made, time in the Word of God. Let's go, we're going to do a little bit of turning tonight. Psalms chapter 1. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Psalms chapter number 1. While you're turning there, Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what's interesting? We haven't had this problem in the last few days. But I'm amazed, I'm being a little facetious here, that if I don't water my plants, and we don't get rain for about 10 days, they don't look too good. They need the nourishment that comes from the water itself. And what's amazing to me, I got a couple of plants that they can just look all wilted and dried up, and I can put water to them, and 15, 20 minutes later, they're just, poof, they're vibrant again. The Bible says if we're in the Word of God, we're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. Maybe we're dry because we're not in the Word like we should be. And then there's tons of other appointments. And for some of us, they're different. For some of us, we need to schedule some time for family or study time or work time or sleep time. Yay, right? Witnessing time, exercise time, whatever God has said, hey, this needs to be in your schedule. And we just need to say, okay, these are appointments that we're supposed to make. And so every day I'm going to make it a priority to be there in those appointments. And we can make the excuses for we don't have time to do that. But if we're honest with ourselves, we do what we really want to do. We make time for what we really want to do. That happens over and over again. So as we think about this idea of keeping appointments, being punctual, keep appointments which should be made. But number two, we're going to talk about keeping appointments that have already been made. Okay, so there's some appointments or maybe some commitments that have already been made. For instance, we know according to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you know what God's saying? Jesus came exactly when he was supposed to come. Exactly. Exactly when everything was perfectly situated for what God did want to accomplish. You know what you and I would say? We would say that we would think it'd be better for him to come today. Because we didn't have to depend on word of mouth about his birth. We could have put it on social media. It'd have been around the world instantaneously. And his resurrection, we could have filmed that. The whole shaking of the camera and the whole nine yards, right? I mean, the stone rolling away, that'd have been a cool video. That's our human mind thinking. God says he came in the fullness of time. Exactly when he was supposed to come, that's when he came. There's a number of things. Turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 16. I told you we're going to do some turning tonight. Matthew chapter 16. Talking about keeping appointments which have already been made. Jesus had an appointment to come. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. The Bible says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What was happening here? Peter decided that he knew better than God did about what Jesus was supposed to do. No, Lord, you don't understand. You're not going to the cross. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. But that's the whole reason I came. It's the whole reason I humbled myself and became obedient. I'm becoming obedient to the death of the cross. That's the whole reason I'm here. No. You're not going to do that. Peter, knowingly or unknowingly, was being used of the devil to try to circumvent God's perfect timing. The fact is, there's going to be times when you believe God wants you to do something. It's lined up with God's word. You know this is what God wants you to do, and well-meaning people are going to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And you're just going to have to say, I'm sorry. I know this is what God wants me to do. I know this doesn't make any sense right now, but I know this is what God wants me to do. I'm not talking about rejecting godly counsel. There's a difference there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 4 and following says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay? So how do you view appointments or commitments that you've already made? Do you keep those? How important are they to you? I'll never forget being in Africa. There were a number of things on the trip to Ghana that were overwhelming to me. Just commitments that of some of these men. Men that by American standards would be fairly ignorant, fairly low class by a lot of American standards. But I watched men who pastored little churches in the bush. And on Sunday morning, they would, some of them, ride a bicycle 12, 14, 15 miles one way to pastor a church, and then they'd ride back. I thought, man, one guy told us the story of some church members that got disgruntled with him, and so they laid an ambush, shot him with a shotgun on his way to church, and he lay there for hours until somebody rescued him. And when he got well enough, he got back on his bicycle and he went back to the same village and kept preaching. That's what kind of character we were talking about, of what people would call bush pastors. But towards the end of our time there, now, there was a pastor, and I don't remember the exact distance, but I believe it was 40 miles. But I could have that figure wrong. He rode 40 miles one way to tell a missionary that he couldn't do what he said he could do. 40 miles one way. And he said, I want you to know that I told you I would be here at this time at this location, and I can't. And here's why I can't. And the missionary said, you didn't have to ride all this distance to tell me that. And he said, yes, I did. And then he turned around and rode 40 miles back. I'm not talking about rode like he's in a car. This was a sacrifice for these men. Their character was important. The third area that I want us to look at tonight is keeping appointments authorities have made for you. All of us have authorities in our life. Again, we go back to Calvary. John chapter 12, if you would. John chapter number 12. John chapter 12 and verse 27. The Bible says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew it was his time. But Jesus had, if you will, permit me tonight to use this, a quote-unquote advantage/disadvantage that we don't have. He knew what that time brought. He knew what Calvary meant. He knew the pain and suffering. He knew the rejection. He knew the spittle. He knew the plucking out of the beard. He knew the weight of the sin that was going to be placed on him for all of mankind. He knew it all. And he kept the appointment anyway, because that's what God the Father wanted. Wow. Do we have appointments that people make for us? Sure. College students, you've got assignments from teachers. You don't always like them. You don't always want to get them in on time, but they need to be on time. It's part of your character in the process. Employers, employees, do they have things that they have there? Sure. Employers, and tell employees, I want such and such done at such and such a time, and you really need to have it done because your boss needs that done for whatever reason. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. I had a young man years ago in the youth department, and we had a three strikes and you're out type of deal. If they committed clear violations, they had to miss a church service or whatever if they were just could not behave. And so this particular young man had done it for the third time, and we had already talked to him, and he said to me, "Are you kicking me out of church?" I said, "No, I'm not kicking you out of church." He said, "Oh, good." I said, "You kicked yourself out." He just kind of looked at me, and I said, I knew this. I knew the answer to this. I said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to own my own business." His idea behind owning his own business was so that everybody else would work for him. He made that clear. But anyway, business owners don't always get that process. But I said, "Okay, so let me ask you a question." I said, "What if you tell your employees to do something and they don't do it?" He said, "I'm going to fire them." I said, "Oh, so you do understand the principle of discipline." He just kind of looked at me and said, "I'm going to miss a service." I said, "Yep, you are, because you didn't obey the rules, right?" We have responsibilities that others have made for us. We have other commitments that others have made for us, and God wants us to keep those. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us are no longer in the home. But those of you that have children and you make a commitment for your child, or you tell them to do something, you expect them to get it done. Or schoolwork or whatever else, we could go on and on. So do you view assignments from your employer or your teacher as commitments you need to keep? Most of us understand that if we told our boss over and over again that we didn't get the job done, that we wouldn't have a job very long. It just doesn't work that way. He expects the work to be done in a timely fashion. And then number four area I'd like for us to look at tonight is keeping appointments whether you want to or not. Keeping appointments whether you want to or not. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." And we typically think of that in the area of salvation, and that certainly is a primary interpretation of that. But can I tell you it goes beyond that? You and I, it's appointed unto us once to die, and after this the judgment. We're not going to be judged for our sins per se. We're not going to be judged whether or not we have an entrance into heaven, but we are going to give an account for our life. That's a huge responsibility. And the truth is, we only have so much time. We don't know how much time we have. We think we know how much time we have. But, I mean, I doubt anybody thinks, you know, tomorrow would be a good day to die. Most of us don't think that way. Matter of fact, most of us, even those of us who have a little more age than others in us, most of us think death is still quite a ways away. But we don't know that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." 1 John 2 and verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So punctuality is pretty important in all kinds of areas of our life. There's an interesting story this week as I was working on this. There's a pretty famous Louisiana politician by the name of Huey Long. Anybody ever heard that name before? Okay, a few of you, if you're from Louisiana or studied Louisiana politics, it's impossible to miss this guy. Now, I will say this about this story. I tried to verify this story, and I could not verify it in other independent sources. I have a story that I'm going to share with you tonight, but I always like to try to verify that in other locations. But in the process of this, it would not surprise me that this guy said what this particular illustration claims that he said. But it's interesting, he was a polarizing figure. That is an understatement of the century. If you loved him, you loved him. And if you hated him, you hated him. So much so that you killed him. Now, there was actually assassin clubs that met regularly to plot his assassination. Okay? They know that. That's proven in history. But the story is told in 1935. Huey P. Long was one of the most powerful men in America at this time, and a virtual dictator in Louisiana politics. Most people said whatever he said went, period. You just didn't have a choice about it. One day he was walking from his office to the legislature when an old friend asked for just a cup of coffee and 5 minutes of his time. Long replied abruptly, "If Jesus Christ were here today, I couldn't give him 5 seconds." The very next day, Long was wailing to the legislator when an assassin riddled his body with bullets. They claim that today you can go to Baton Rouge, and see the bullets embedded in the plaster wall there. They stand as a lasting monument that a man without 5 seconds for Jesus Christ one day will face God the next in eternity. 2 days after the assassin's bullet ripped his body on September the 10th, 1935, 11 days after his 42nd birthday, his last words were, "God, don't let me die. I have so much to do." Are you ready for the judgment? Every person in this room is going to face it. Either as a lost person without Jesus Christ, or as a saved person to give an account of what God's given us. You say, "Pastor, that's sobering." It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be sobering for us. To say, "Wait a minute, this is really going to happen?" Yes, it's really going to happen. So we need to build this character quality into our lives so that others can learn to depend upon us. Could Jesus be depended upon? Jesus' mother knew she could depend on him in John chapter 2. Remember the wedding at Canaan? She came to him and Jesus said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" And she said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." She didn't even know if he was going to actually perform a miracle. She just knew whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's trustworthy. Jesus' disciples learned that they could depend on him. Let's go to one other passage of scripture tonight. I think it's the last one we're going to turn to. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Jesus' disciples learned that they could depend upon him. Matthew 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." There's that prayer again. "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Disciples learned, whatever he says, we can trust. And they're going to apply that even more by the time we get to the book of Acts, and they're looking back and saying, "Don't forget he said this, and don't forget he said this, and don't forget he said this." Jesus' friends learned to depend upon him as well. In John 11, we see the death of Lazarus. When you read that story, the sisters were amazed that he failed to come immediately. "Lord, why didn't you come? What's wrong with you? Don't you know that if you'd have been here, he hadn't died?" This was intentional. He He purposely wanted them to see the glory of God manifest even in the resurrection of the dead. He intentionally waited to come. But it shows how they had learned to depend upon Jesus' punctuality. When he said he was going to be somewhere, or when they asked for him to be somewhere, he was there. So how do you view time overall? How do you view punctuality in that time? We go all the way back to one of the verses we read at the beginning, redeeming the time for the days are evil. If you look up that word redeeming, you'll find that one of the definitions, a powerful one, gives the idea to buy up or to seize as if it's never coming this way again. You ever heard someone say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? You know? It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, most of those are shams. We know that. My dad had an opportunity when I was a boy to buy a piece of land that was pretty much swamp land, which is not a big deal in Florida because lots of Florida is a swamp land. But it was a particular area in the north end of Lakeland, Florida, and the developer said, look, I got this large plot of land. The price, I don't remember the price now, but it was a ridiculously cheap price. And my dad really thought, hey, this guy's just scamming me. It's nothing but a swamp, and it's not going to be much else. And so he passed up on the deal, which I don't blame him. There wasn't a whole lot of indicators there. But can I tell you where my dad would have bought that piece of land is now a resort community with a golf course sitting on it. It's really nice. He made some other pretty good deals. He bought a piece of land bought two pieces of land for $7,000 a piece, and resold them a year later for $35,000 a piece. That's what land in Florida was doing. But can I tell you that when God says redeem the time, as if it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal, it is. The minutes and the seconds and the hours that God gives you to live, that's it. You don't get to relive them. You don't get to rewind and go, oh, let me retry to do that again. You got to use it for God. So, let's just, as we finish up here tonight, a couple of questions. And this is going to put you on the spot. All right? I know for some of you, they always put you on the spot, but why do we struggle with being on time? Where's those mics? Can you guys grab those? Why do we struggle with being on time? Some people be like, I'm not saying nothing. Anybody have a thought? Sarah, back here, Brother John? That's right.
Because there's something else we want to do more.
Okay, so it's something we want to do more, right? Perhaps it's that one last dish we want to put in the dishwasher so we can actually get it started before we walk out the door, or the last little pile we want to sleep. I don't know what it may be. So, yes, RJ.
Sometimes we try to put too much into our schedule so we don't have time for important things.
Okay, so we pack too much into our schedule where it's just impossible to get done what needs to be done. What else? The Bishop.
Sometimes it's a health issue that you really want to, but there is no way.
Okay, so there's some legitimate issues why it just can't happen because of that. Yep. Good. Jenna?
Selfishness.
Okay, selfishness. Oh, give her the mic back. Why? Explain that.
Basically, you want to do what you want to do.
I want to do what I want to do. Okay. Here's the thing. If you set an appointment to be at somewhere at a certain time and other people came at the certain time and you didn't, aren't you wasting their time? They actually showed up on time. That's an important, pretty important one. But why do people struggle to keep commitments? Let's ask it this way first off. Do we know that people struggle to keep commitments today? And what's one good example why we know people struggle to keep commitments today? Anybody got an idea? Joan? Okay, so sometimes people will say they're going to come to church service. Not a priority. We spent about an hour today going over visitation things and how we do things and just working through. And one of the things I said, because some of these kids are from the north, and one thing about the north is, when you knock on a door up north, if they're not coming to church, they're going to tell you they're not coming to church, and they'll slam the door in your face. And you're like, wow, them people are rude. They are. Down here, they'll say, oh, I've been looking for a church. Where's your church? What time's the service? I'll be there Sunday. They're lying through their teeth. They ain't coming. They're not coming. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. And I walk, and I, especially when I'm with a new college student, they're like walking away like, whew, this is good. I can't wait till Sunday. I'm like, they're not coming. They're like, what? I hate to be a pessimist, but they're not coming. I'm just telling you, they're not coming, you know? And they didn't come. Can I give you one reason, just one, and I know I'm thinking on different lines than you guys, but can I tell you one way we know people struggle to keep commitments? When's the last time you bought a house? How thick was the paperwork? And why did you have to sign all those documents? Because people don't keep commitments. That's why you had to sign them. And you know what's ridiculous now? Is now they're getting to where you have to put your little initials on specific lines just to make sure you know what that line says. When we were traveling some this summer, there were times in a motel registration I had to sign specific lines. It wasn't good enough to sign the bottom of the paper. You need to initial here that you're not going to smoke in the room, and you need to initial here. It's like, why do they have to do that? Because people won't keep commitments. That's why. That's the deal. So why do we struggle to keep commitments? Anybody? Let's go with just the house deal. Why do people struggle to keep house commitments?
It kind of goes back and reminds me of what Jesus said. I think it was in Matthew where he said, you're going to build a tower, but you don't think of the cost. A lot of times we don't actually think through what we're committing when we do commit.
That's right. So we don't even think through what's going to happen in the future. And you know what's amazing? If you watch the real estate bubble when it bust and all the government interference and so forth, they actually tried to sue banks because they said, you loan them more money than those people could pay back. It's like, well, isn't that the people's responsibility to figure that out and not the banks, you know? So they're wanting to sue the bank because the bank said, oh, yeah, you can pay this money back. People don't think through some of that. That's part of this act, this commitment of, you say, well, that's not really punctuality. It's a commitment. It's along those same lines. So, Brother Bishop?
Well, I've noticed one thing. When attorneys are involved, they have to have attorneys because people do not keep their word, and it's a fact. That's why they have attorneys.
Yep, that's true. And if you sign today, you sign a cell phone contract. You literally sign just about anything, and it is paperwork after paperwork after paperwork after paperwork. Do you know why the college has a thick rule book? I said to Dr. Lucan yesterday. I said it took him 2.5 hours to go through he and Brother Clark there. And I said, you know, most of those rules in this book, we can put a name next to if you really want those. You know, why do we do that? Because we jump through hoops, right, about those even things. And just challenge you, there's are things we can do to keep on, to be on time. We can plan ahead. We can say, you know what, if I left my house at 8 on Sunday morning, if I left my house at 8:38, technically, I can get to church. Actually, it would be 8:32 I could get to church. If their train doesn't come, and if everything else doesn't happen, and that gets me here to walk on the platform the moment the service is supposed to begin. So therefore, we leave the house at 15 minutes or 30 minutes before that's to take place. That's part of the planning of it, and that's part of what we can do as well. So, all right. Lord bless you. We'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday.